I'm Jenny.
I'm Joe.
And this is Progress Prompts, where we believe there are two pillars to meaningful progress: knowing and loving who you are and living in alignment with that.
But we know that's easier said than done, so join us for some honest Q&D today.
We definitely don't have all the answers, but we've got you covered on the prompts. Hello, friends. Pinch me. I am so excited about today's episode. We got to interview Dan Purcell from Get Your Marriage On. Dan and his wife, Emily, have a blog at getyourmarriageon.com. He's Christian, so it's clean but informative. And that's how today's episode will be as well. This is definitely not an explicit podcast, but if you have little ones listening, you may want to watch for some of those terms. If not, grab a pen and paper because you will want to take notes. I do. I can't wait to go back through this one, and I'm already using some of the tips. Dan is so informed about this topic, and we're so grateful. He has a background in software development, and he and his wife have this really cool story, actually, where they kind of came to this aha moment that ignorance is not bliss when it comes to sex. But I know if you're like me, it's not one of those things that you want to learn about on the internet because you want to have a safe place to learn about this topic. But I definitely agree that learning and talking about sex is such a catalyst for a really intimate and connected relationship. And that's what I want more than anything. Dan also hosts a podcast of his own that I've been listening to for a while called Get Your Marriage On, where he interviews sexperts, if you haven't heard that term yet, about all things sex. And so when I found out we were going to have him on, I just was over the moon. They also have this really great app that Joe and I have been using, and you'll hear me gush all about that, so don't mind me, but I promise it's not sponsored. It's just something that I use and love. And I hope you get as much from today's episode as I did. Joe and I really opened up about some of our struggles because we had to take the opportunity of having somebody who really knows their stuff on the show. We will throw up links to Dan's podcast and blog and app and a few of his other interviews that I used to prepare for today, so that you can have all of that with you. And he also mentioned some coaching that will be in there. So go check our show notes. Go to getyourmarriageon.com and listen in for how to overcome roadblocks to great sex. Hi, Dan. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
We're excited to have you. And we're excited to talk about sex. Let me say it out loud. I'm practicing that. So
yes.
I think it'll be great. Before we get to that, though, we wanted to break the ice with a confession session.
All right. My confession is I was born in Japan. I was raised in Japan, and I still don't like raw fish. So I can't do raw fish very well.
That is funny. I never ate raw fish until we got married, but Joe has converted me to sushi. There's only two rolls that I will try, and it's the two on the menu with the least amount of raw fish. So I'm with you. For our progress prompt today, I was trying to think of the best sex question because I was like, wow, we have an expert on the show. So I'm going to lump it into one category, and that's this. What are some of the roadblocks to great sex, and how can we overcome them? And Joe and I each thought of a roadblock ourselves, but then if you have any you want to add to the list, and we just want all of your advice.
Okay, great. I want to first say, if in your marriage, if you feel like you're having some roadblocks in your relationship with regards to sex, like they feel like gridlock, congratulations, you're normal. That means you have a normal marriage and nothing is wrong with you or your relationship. It's not like you married the wrong person, because every normal, healthy relationship, you will run into roadblocks in your relationship. So one of the first roadblocks, I think, is just not understanding and like lack of knowledge of really how sex kind of works. I guess you'd call that sex education. And many of us didn't have the most complete sex education growing up. And that's okay. It's just now that you're married and now you're expected to know everything and you don't. Or if you're more like us, it was more like there are a lot of stuff we didn't know that we didn't know. And so you just...
Yeah, that's seriously a lot of it. There's things that like you know you don't know and you're like, okay, these are the questions I need to ask or get a good book about or whatever. But then there's like this stuff that you don't even know like that. That's a question you need to be asking. Like,
right. And for us, our big hang up was we didn't want to Google our sex questions. We didn't want to go online, let alone talk to someone about it. That seemed really scary. And we even had a hard time even saying the word sex in our marriage. We would use other words like, hey, do you want to? And then we'd have code words because we're too embarrassed to even say the word sex or parts of our body or whatever. So once we kind of understood that, what broke the ice for us was we realized that there's really good Christians out there in the world that have published really helpful books and create wonderful blogs and create podcasts that are really like in line with our values. And we're able to realize, hey, this is actually an okay thing. And it felt safe to start learning and diving in those things. And then we kind of learn the lay of the land a little better. And now it's a little, you know, what's safe to explore and what's not safe to explore as far as seeking information goes. And so that's one roadblock, I think.
I think that's true. I'm going to put a plug in for your app here because we use the Intimately Us app. And that's actually one of my favorite sections is it has a little tab on there that says learn.
Uh-huh.
And then all of those articles, but it's like we were in the same boat. I want to know more, but I don't want to Google this. Where can I go? And I think it's right. Hard to find those resources and especially to find them all in one place. That's so helpful. But then I also think, like you said, there are so many good people out there that are feeling similarly. And I think it's getting less and less scary to talk about it, which is a good thing. But just dipping our toes in the water, that app has been awesome for us. So right. Thank you.
I got a little story to share, I guess, about that. So we're learning, and in one of the books we read, it was really clear that most women don't reach orgasm through intercourse alone. They need more direct clitoral stimulation. And that was like mind-blowing to me because growing up and just what sex looks like or what it should look like was always intercourse. And in our marriage, was kind of frustrated. How come my wife is not as pleasurable for her as it is for me? And And it was because, well, she's like the majority of women. It's not through intercourse is how you get the most pleasure in sex. So just understanding that kind of made a huge change in our marriage. So some real basics, I guess, for some might be considered really basic knowledge. Things like that, I think, were really helpful in our relationship. And it really took our marriage to the next level, understanding some good fundamentals.
That's really cool. Not only that you were able to like figure out what works for you and your wife and learn more together, but then take that and help other people. That's awesome.
Thanks. Another common roadblock couples have is learning how to like talk about it. Sometimes it's a lot easier to have sex than to actually talk about your sexual relationship. And it's because sex is such a really core and deep and beautiful part of who we are. It's really like at our core. And so sharing this part of us, we need to have a lot of trust. We need to feel like it's okay. And it's also like a truism that when we share something like say you want to bring up something new you want to try to your spouse, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be looked at as gross or no way, or not as enthusiastic as you might have thought or hoped the response will be. And so it becomes like a part of us that we really want to guard and guard closely. And so sharing that with another person takes an incredible amount of courage because there's a lot of risk involved because you're really exposing yourself. But that really is the only path through to build greater intimacy. And I think that brings up something that I learned and want to like preach from the rooftops is that the very best sex is intimate sex. And what I mean by that is intimacy is when you really know and you want to know the person you're with, and you're also allowing them to really get to know you. So it kind of goes both directions. But it's not, intimacy is not for wimps, because it takes a lot of courage to be able to want to like share yourself and to like accept the other person and to really get curious with your spouse about your relationship.
Well, I think that's a great point, because I'm just sitting here having the thought, like, it's exactly as you say, you know, it's really hard for me anyway to talk about those things and say, oh, hey, like, let's try this or let's do that, you know, or whatever. But it's like, hey, if I can learn how to talk about that in our relationship, man, there's nothing else that we can't talk about, you know?
So right.
This would be really good for like a lot of aspects of your marriage, you know, not just that. So anyway, that's kind of the thought that's going through my head. And I think that's great.
It's really vulnerable, but I like something I heard you say in one of your interviews I listened to earlier was the definition of intimacy is to know and be known. And I loved that. And I thought that's why sex is so important to our marriage for me. Like, it's really connecting. That vulnerability is scary, but then being accepted for that just takes you to the next level as a couple.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you want to try something just as an exercise, here's a fun tip to try. Next time before you have sex, you might be undressed or whatever, just look into each other's eyes and just gaze into each other's eyes for a few minutes. Soak in the other person and kind of really let them see you. And it's really connecting. And then as you make love, you're going to be like, you want to maintain that eye contact. And it's not like a staring contest, but it's more like, hey, I really like you. I want to be with you. It's you who I really want. And then you're making love not only with your body, but with your heart and with your mind as well, because you really want to be one with that person. So a lot of people like the lights off or eyes shut, and you have a little bit of foreplay, and then you get aroused enough, and then it's like sex becomes work, and now it's work, 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 until you like you reach some goal, which is fine, but it can be so much more intimate when you kind of really slow that down and really like take in the other person you're with and hold them tight and be really present with them.
Yeah. I love that. I want to try that. But one of the roadblocks that Joe has, and both of us, do you want to share?
Yeah. So, well, there's a couple of things here. We're kind of, you know, like I'm mid-30s, going after my career, like all of this stuff. Jenny's at home with the kids all the time. You know, we've got two kids. They're 5 and 3. So I guess for us, a roadblock that happens sometimes is cutting through all of that and like finding time that A, we're both awake and the kids are asleep and whatever chores we've got to do are done, you know. What advice do you have for people that are kind of in the trenches like that, as far as setting aside time or whatever? Because I always am kind of resistant to like, oh, let's have a schedule, you know, or something like that. And half the time the schedule wouldn't work out anyway. Yeah. So what advice do you have for people that are kind of in that stage of life where it's just like you get going and suddenly 2 weeks have gone by and I haven't even seen you for, you know.
Right.
And playing off of what you just said, that's what comes to mind for me, is that would be my ideal, to have that time to take things slow, but it's not always possible. Or like with your app and playing games, we love to play games and that takes time too. So it's hard with young kids.
It's very hard. Oh yeah. I've totally been there. And I think the first thing to understand is that it does get better. It does get a little easier as kids grow up and become a little more autonomous. It does get a little easier. And second is, even if you're at a scheduler or whatever, the universe seems to conspire against us. Like the moment you're like, oh, the baby's asleep or the dishes are done, then something else would happen anyway. So there's yep. always going to be interruptions, right? But if you think about it, we make time for other things. Joe, you make time for your running training. That's really time consuming. Like we do to make time for things that matter to us. And if you see the benefits that come from it, then you would generally naturally prioritize it. So one thing that's helped us in our marriage is even from the beginning, date night was always a really important thing. And when we had little kids, that usually didn't happen weekly, maybe about once a month if we got lucky, because finding a babysitter is also a huge chore.
I'm so glad that sometimes
yes, after the eighth phone call, eighth no, you're like, this is so much effort. What are we gonna do? But like, it's so important that we actually got out away from the home and just to be us and to play and to have fun. But you can get really creative with that. You can have at-home dates and do things that are really connecting and just have fun and goofy. It doesn't have to be sexual per se, but just be a couple, because that kind of lays the foundation for saying, you know, we are important. We're a unit. Another idea that might be helpful is set a timer. So you're tired. I got to get up early in the morning, but let's set the timer for 10 minutes and let's just have some intimate touch for 10 minutes. And if you can remove like a goal of like some specific outcome from sex and just make it about connecting and pleasure, it really opens up your definition of what sex is and what it can be. And in these times when both are tired and work is crazy and there's stress and everything involved, it's important to remember like initiating, one of you has to do it. So you can take turns if you want, or you can talk about it up front, but someone has to like kickstart that process. And ever like go to like when I was young, I did a lot of karate, and I would once a week go to the seminar, and the whole 45-minute drive there, my stomach would be in a knot. I was nervous. I didn't want to be at that karate seminar. But once I was there and with everyone else and afterwards, I felt great. I was like, so happy I went. You probably had experiences like that before, right? Where you're like, this is going to be a lot of work. But
like
once you're there,
gym.
Right? Or yeah, the gym exercise is perfect for that, right? Oftentimes sex feels like that. Like, this is going to be a lot of work. I got to clean up after. I'm tired. We've just been missing each other. But once you get going and once you can like just get the engine started afterwards, like, I'm so glad we did that. I don't regret that we took time for that. So those are some ideas when you have little kids.
I like that. I think specifically removing the desired outcome stands out to me, because that makes it easier for me to actually listen to my body and be present in the moment rather than be stressed out about making something happen.
Right. Doing the moves that get you to orgasm, for example, or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Most people end sex when he has an orgasm. Usually, most couples, that's their script. And so if you can kind of turn that on its head and redefine that for your marriage, and it can be time to time, season to season, moment to moment. And you can talk about it first, like, hey, do you need an orgasm tonight? Or what do you think? But again, the goal is really connecting and sharing pleasure. And it's that intimacy. You want that closeness, and you want that to be a regular, nourishing part of your marriage, because then it makes life worth living. It makes the sky bluer and the grass greener. It adds a bounce to your step. I don't know. It's like a great counterbalance to all the other awful stuff and just stuff with life. And we need more of it. It's so good for us, and it's good for your brain. It's good for your health. It's good for your skin. There's lots of benefits.
I think that's so true. And I think when we get busy and obviously
when you get busy,
when we get busy, no, when our lives are busy and we get busy less, then I notice it in our relationship. And I feel like too, because I'm someone that I'm like super high anxiety. And mm-hmm. It's hard for me to turn off my brain, and it's hard for me to not stress about the daily to-do list and all of that kind of stuff. But I actually, it's like you said, there are so many benefits. I feel more relaxed. I feel closer to my spouse and I'm happier. Like the next day goes better. It's true, but it's hard sometimes. And it's not just with sex, but sometimes the things that are good for us are hard to convince ourselves to put that effort in.
Yes. Yeah.
So my roadblock kind of goes along with that, I guess. And I don't know, maybe some of the solutions might be similar, but I get chronic migraines and it's not fun. And I just feel like this year particularly, I have had so many health problems to where I'm never in the mood. Uh-huh. And I'm always in some sort of physical pain. And so it makes it really hard. I don't know that I would compare it to chronic illness, but I guess that's kind of what my question would be. Like, what about those people who physically it's difficult for them?
There are a lot of people out there that struggle with chronic illnesses, all kinds of stuff. So it isn't just us, you know?
Yeah. Or even pain with sex and things like that. But knowing the benefits and knowing how big of a part of our relationship it is, it's even harder to go without that and not feel as close. And I wish that I could, and I wish that we had that connection. And I compare it to other times and seasons where like we were less busy or I was less physically in pain, you know? Uh-huh. And I think, man, I want that. It's not that I don't want that, but it's just really, really hard. I don't know.
That is really hard. You're going to have seasons and ups and downs in general. And just working something out together is really important. For some marriages, or right after childbirth, for instance, most women aren't in the mood at all. They barely can take care of themselves to shower, let alone like think about being intimate in that way. So yeah, you got to work it out and find a good solution that works for both of you.
I like what you said earlier about changing the goals of sex. You know, I think that could be helpful in some of those situations, because then it really opens up the possibilities of, okay, what is it we're trying to accomplish here, you know? And if the goal is connection, boy, I think you could, you know, we can find some things that we can do, you know?
Yeah.
Even a massage can be connecting and very pleasurable.
Yeah. He does that for me a lot. He'll give me head massages for my headaches.
Awesome. That's so good. Yeah, working through your whatever issues it might be. For some couples, it may not be a health issue, but, you know, desire discrepancy. One spouse wants it a whole lot more than the other, which is very common and normal. I think most marriages, actually, majority of marriages have that. So part of marriage, people say, we need to work on our marriage. Or I need to work on my marriage. But the reality is your marriage works on you far more than you work on your marriage, because your marriage makes you grow and it stretches you to your limits. And if your marriage doesn't do it, your kids definitely will. So it's like, I think it's God's plan to grow humans, for us to grow and develop, to become more like him. So when you have those challenges, sometimes they're really frustrating. There's a few specific tips I can offer there. It's really easy for us to blame our spouse and wish if they were different, if she didn't have as many headaches, or if he didn't think about it so much and wanted it so much. I'm making these up as examples, but it's easy to wish that our spouse would do all the changing to accommodate us, so we didn't have to do any growing or changing ourselves. Everyone around us, you know, the circumstances change, so I don't have to like do anything myself. That's kind of how most people by default go into these sorts of conflicts. And as a result, there's a lot of anxiety. You feel depressed about it. You feel like you're in this downward spiral, or you try to control and manipulate and cajole each other really subtly, or sometimes very overtly. And those tactics just don't work, or they don't work long-term, because resentment might creep in your relationship. And when you're really resentful, you don't want to be intimate with that person. So it kind of undermines like the long-term goal. So the process then is to really learn how to like work together as an intimate team, and to really make your relationship, especially when it comes to sex, a team sport. How can we work together through this? What do we both want? What kind of marriage do we both want to build? And really like concentrate on that. And then at those moments where you feel like you're in that downward spiral and you're really upset at them and wish they would change, if you can flip it to, what is this saying about me? How am I? What is it like to be married to me? How can I grow up? What's my role here? What is it about me that I need to change? And really kind of make it more about me and becoming more solid within yourself. We talk a lot about becoming self-reliant, and I love that concept. We want to be financially self-reliant and spiritually self-reliant. We also want to become emotionally self-reliant people. So when we can like emotionally be able to stand solid on our own two feet in the midst of that conflict, you're going to have a much better chance at coming to a resolution. And even if you don't come to like solve the, you know, the root of your gridlock conflict, at least you have grown to become a better man or a better woman, and you've earned your own self-respect. And that is no small consolation prize. That's huge. So that's what the beauty of conflict and sex will do for you.
Yeah, I really like that advice. We've talked about on our podcast several times that when you resort to blaming and looking at all the external things and the other people, you know, that, oh, all of this is happening to me, you've really given up your
control
to change the situation. You've given up your control of it.
Yes.
And so I love what you said there about reframing it and saying, what can I do? What needs to change about me to make this relationship or this marriage or, you know, whatever it might be, make it better? And I think that's very empowering. So I appreciate what you said there.
And it's really attractive when your spouse is that way. So
that is true. I think too, not just taking back our agency, but giving that agency to our spouse. You mentioned in another podcast about how passion requires choice or something like that. And I thought that was really powerful too.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah.
So I love the movie Beauty and the Beast, because it illustrates that principle so well. Because in the beginning, Beast captures Belle. She's his prisoner. And he wants to force her to like come to dinner. She'll come to dinner, but she's going to resent. She's going to stand up to that tyranny all day long. And she's going to make it awful for him and miserable for him to be there when she's forced to do it. And then as the story progresses, the Beast changes and he starts giving up that control, right? Even to the point where the last rose petal is about to fall and he lets her go. She's supposed to fall in love with him, but he's like, no, she needs to go home and see her dad. And everyone's like, how could you do that? And that was a big conflict for him, but he understood. He kind of got that lesson. And that's why he transforms in the end. He becomes a prince again, because he finally understood that. And what's cool about the story is Belle decides willingly to come back. Mm-hmm. Because there is choice there. So if you want real passion in your relationship, there has to be choice. And that's a little scary, because that sometimes might mean letting your spouse make a choice that you may not really agree with, or kind of just giving them some space. When it comes to sex, I work with a lot of men, and I know a lot of men are like, well, if I stop sending podcasts to my wife and stop emailing them these blog posts or stop sending them links to download this app or, you know, whatever, like if I stop hounding them for sex, they'll never change. But what they don't see is actually happening in their relationship is she doesn't have a choice. She doesn't have a self. She's being so smothered that she's not given room to like really discover things on her own for what she thinks is right. And it's undermining passion in the relationship. So she might comply, but it's not going to be, it ends up turning into really duty sex or pity sex, which is the worst kind of sex in my opinion, because it lacks passion in there. There's no choice. So the solution is to give plenty of room for choice, and you can advocate for what you want. You can say, I think this is really important for both of us. I think this would be really good. Just like you would talk about like, I think we should move across the state to take this other job because it would be good for our family. you know, I think having a better sexual relationship would be better for a marriage. Like, you can always put them in those terms and you're advocating for what you believe is right. But advocacy is different than trying to control, manipulate, and like make them choose something, or trying to mold them into the kind of person you want them to be for you. Because there's not going to be a person in that. There's not going to be choice.
That's such a good distinguishing between advocacy and manipulation. I love that term.
So, thanks.
Thank you. Thanks for being willing to come on and meet with us.
Definitely.
Answer all of our burning questions.
When Jenny told me that we were going to be doing an episode on sex, I was like, oh, okay, this is a left turn, but this has been really good. I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah.
But isn't it beautiful? Although we talk about sex, these are principles that help create really strong relationships.
Absolutely. I think you talked about this a little bit at the beginning of the episode, but I think in our society, there's so little healthy talk about sex within the context of marriage. And so I think that this is something that really needs to be talked about, and particularly between spouses.
Yeah, that's a common theme I'm noticing to all of your answers here today, is talking to each other. And that's something that is really foundational, not just in your sexual relationship, but in your intimacy in your marriage. So.
And if you need help with that, there's a fantastic app called Intimately Us.
Yes.
That will really help facilitate those conversations in a fun and playful way.
It is our favorite. We've actually done all of the quizzes already.
Awesome.
I bought the ad-free version, and I love the daily challenges.
Yeah.
That is so fun because they're small, but they're doable.
Yeah, and that helps with, you know, what I was talking about earlier with the whole being in the trenches situation. It's like you get a little notification. Oh, hey, yeah, I need to pay attention to this, you know.
It's a good reminder. So we love the app. Thank you so much for it. Is there anything else that you wanted to shout out, or anything you have coming down the pipeline?
Thank you. I love what you're doing with your podcast. You can find me at getyourmarriageon.com. And I've started coaching men specifically. I've got a course that I've put together. It's 10 weeks long. And we dive into topics relating to how to be a better husband and how to improve intimacy in your marriage. So that's another fun project I have going on.
Fantastic. That's awesome. We'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll throw up links to all the things. But thank you so much for being here with us. It's been so fun. We are so glad that you're here. We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's prompt. Let us know at progressprompts.com or on Instagram at progressprompts.
And if someone comes to mind while you're listening, please share the podcast with a friend. Word of mouth is the biggest compliment.
See you next time. And remember, the secret to not caring what other people think about you, to more peace and less anxiety, and to being your best self for the people you love, is to know and love who you are.
I don't know. Let's hear your example first.
I was just going to confess that we're moving, so we're packing, and Joe is teasing me because I packed the Twilight books with the Lord of the Ring books. And he said that was blasphemous, but I told him, and this is my confession, I did it on purpose because I knew that if they were in their own box, that box would mysteriously turn up missing. But if I combined them with his favorite, it would not get burned in a fire and it would not get lost in our move.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
I wouldn't actually burn your Twilight books, but I do like to joke about it.
Yeah.